Ken Mullenix, the mayor, we have a quorum, and we're going to start with a discussion of the, on water at Finley Beach Park, item number three. And staff, you want to start that?
Sure, if you want to invite your three guests up to the table, they can sit down here, and our good manager and the two board members. You guys, yeah. This is a work session, our work sessions are roundtable type discussions, that's why you're here. Not as formal. So Corey, you met with them, I think bottom line is they, and I'll let them give their spiel, but the issue is that their water bills, of course, they use a lot of water, and most of their water is outside, not inside, because they have lots of grass. And obviously the water bills have changed a bunch, and what the big change was out at Finley View, which has not actually even been open as far as a building is concerned. In that last winter, I know it was closed and boarded up basically, so they weren't running any water in there. So Corey met with that group right there. And then I went down and stopped after I got done with another meeting and we visited. So we told them that we would work on water bills and what's our role for the discussion with the council is, you know, do we want to assume a larger role in participating in green open space parks, you know, our contribution to that kind of thing in the community. So I guess that would be the opening. Was your meeting on that topic? You had some other things you were on. You're just that.
No, I think that sets the stage, and then if they would like to share some things as well, we can hear that, and then we'll go from there.
Ready?
Okay.
Terrific. I'm Gary Gordon, and I'm the chairman of the board of directors for the Lapine Park and Recreation District. With us today is Karen Miller, who is our general manager extraordinaire, and Toby Wilson, who's the vice chair of the board of directors. I have prepared some remarks for several reasons. Number one, it's hard to be misunderstood when they're written. I'm giving you each a copy of them. You can follow along if you would.
Which is good and bad.
We may have a couple extra for our guests and whatever. I've suffered from a cold. I didn't have time to sit down and rehearse it. Oh, my voice holds up. But I'm prepared to read it when you guys have your copies and we can just kind of follow along and then we'll be able to answer some questions. So I'm going to begin. All right, I'm Gary Gordon and I'm the chair of the board of directors for the Lapine Park and Recreation District. I was sworn in this past July. Our vice chair is Toby Wilson. And since this past July, two board members resigned. From the old crowd, only Joel Brader remained. We have gone through the application interview process for new board members, and we have selected two outstanding and abundantly qualified candidates. Linda Vasalli, who brings extensive leadership and park and rec experience, and Tracy Ross, who brings 35 years of management, marketing, administration, and operations experience. They both take office at our next board meeting in October. That will give us a full board of directors who really want to see the best for the district, both in a financially stable way, but also with vision and common sense. This board gets it to serve the recreation of the entire needs of the entire district is our goal. But before I address our water concerns, I'd like to make a few observations. Our district has seen significant changes in the past 3 to 5 years. We've gone through several executive directors and even more board members. That in itself has caused significant continuity problems. It's hard to pick up the pieces that are either scattered or never recorded in the first place. To make matters worse, just 1 year ago, before the presently constituted a board arrived, our new general manager discovered there was about a $50,000 shortfall in the then budget. So it's all these changeovers and financial issues, the very first question that needs to be answered is why on earth would the city council even consider entering into an agreement with a park district that has seen so many struggles? Well, I'm here to directly answer that. First and foremost, it's under the direction of our general manager, Karen Miller, that we were able to announce at our last board meeting that the budget deficit has now been made up. Second, our programs are now paying for themselves and we are running in the black. And this, with our programs expanding to include more recreational and educational opportunities for the entire community. Third, We've gotten our paperwork and records act together. Going through essentially 25 years of neglect, the records of the district are now in pretty good shape. Our outdated policies have been revised to comply with state law, and the policies that we need in place are being brought into compliance with legislative changes required by January 1st, 2016. Fourth, we have a harmonious board dedicated to serving all of the citizens of the district while maintaining the fiscal integrity of district funds. Our board clearly understands that we cannot spend money that we do not have. We have gone from the financial struggle to being financially sound because we know that every dollar counts. Fifth, we have a dedicated staff headed by our general manager who is primarily responsible for cleaning up the budget deficit. We have a staff that is working tirelessly on seeking grant money. We are maintaining our goal of having at least 10 completed grant application submissions active at all times. When we are turned down by one, we get another one going. We have adopted a new bright logo as we aggressively market a positive image with the catchwords play, learn, explore. We have revised the website to make it more user-friendly with easier access to relevant information. But we have begun the process of reestablishing positive relations with the community partners, a process which has been long neglected and in much need of repair. In short, the Park District is revitalized and has rejoined the community. Let's move on. The district was formed in 1990, but was formed without a tax base. Four separate funding proposals went before the district voters, and all were rejected. Finally, a 30-cent per $1,000 valuation passed, and the district now had some funding. That levy brings in just barely $200,000, which is 64% of the overall budget. To give you some perspective, our tax levy receipts form a little less than 1% of Ben Park and Rec's annual budget. Now, out of the $200,000 we have to pay our personnel, repair equipment, provide office supplies, equipment, software licenses, pay the phone, insurance, electricity, and a whole host of other vital things, including water and sewer. Our budget is so lean that we have no money for any capital improvements and are facing major expenses just to preserve the facilities that we have. But preserve them we must, and we will. And we could not survive without thousands of hours of volunteers who really are the backbone of park activities. Now, for the past few years, the district and the city have been partners in an agreement relating to the delivery of water, and that agreement end date is approaching. Although I'm not privy to the reason for the agreement because it was before my time, it was clearly believed that it was to the city's advantage to allow the district to pay a reduced rate for water usage. The truth of the matter is this. The district cannot pay the going rate for water. There are no grants that would offset the cost of using city water. And at the present time, to attain more funds for such operating expense would mean we would have to again get a revenue measure on the ballot with little to no chance of success as the outcome. The advantage to the city in working out a water arrangement must be framed in two guiding principles. Will it be for the general public good, and will it be in the public interest to do so? One, the district properties that are located within the city limits count as the city's green space. Two, our parks are a source of community pride, and a well-maintained park speaks loudly positive of the city it serves. Three, parks provide the community's outdoor activities venue for residents of all ages, from after-school activities to mothers with infants out for a stroll, to safe playgrounds, to ball fields for Little League and soccer, festivals, music concerts, shows, celebrations, the list is endless. Our parks represent the very best character of this community. When people refer to the parks, it's not the district's parks or the city's parks, it's our parks. Our parks are destinations. Four. Our parks add immeasurably to the tourist dollars that we all covet. Our parks are where fun happens, where children grow up and lifelong memories are made. Parks are a place where we bring our kids, our relatives, and visitors from out of town. They are part of what brings people back to Lapine. They are part of the positive image of Lapine that we as a community have been working on for years. And I believe, I know the 150 acres, but I believe also Heritage Park is part of the, included within the Urban Renewal District. I know I could go on, but really it all just comes down to water. We need to keep our grass green in season. We need to keep our playing fields in proper condition so that our children and visitors' children are not playing in a dust bowl. We need to maintain proper landscaping because it's nice to look at and helps calm us. Water does a lot more for the district than just green the grass. To illustrate my last point, the district survived for close to 20 years because of volunteers, both in donations, fundraisers, can collections, and volunteer hours. Although many things in our world have changed, the spirit of volunteerism is still an asset in our community. In the time that I have been board chair, I have reached out to former community partners who are now once again eager to rekindle the spirit of volunteerism and cooperation with the Park District. But that spirit cannot be a lasting event unless there is a very clear vision of what their efforts and money will accomplish. This is particularly true relating to the ball fields at Findlay Butte. It takes water to bring Findlay Butte up to the park quality it needs to be, and a long-term water agreement will be the cornerstone for allowing our community partners to join the vision. When the community partners rejoin, good things will happen. The district needs a working water agreement that will allow us to provide that long-term vision to our community partners, who will in turn help us rejuvenate Findlay Butte. With all these things in place, we can envision baseball tournaments coming to our city, and with them increased dollars to our local businesses and a positive uptick in our community's reputation. So again, it should be clear that working out a meaningful multi-year agreement will be both for the general good and in the public interest to do so. Thank you.
Well said.
Well, to give you an overview, I think, of the district and where they are, and a lot of you know that because you're around it and everything. But I think bottom line is that our new system, it doesn't fit for the park because of, let's take a step back. Our new billing system, commercial, and they're considered commercial, not residential. In residential, we just take winter water usage, and that runs your sewer bill. Well, in the winter, how much would they use if they were residential? Be zero, basically. I mean, actually, you've been closed, right? You haven't even been open last year.
Okay, it's just the restrooms and the watering of the grass. That's it. The building's closed.
Yeah. So virtually, be almost nothing. Now, they basically 99% of their water, unlike a business, is going to grass. And remember, in commercial, for every gallon that comes in, you consider it's going down the drain. So their sewer bill this summer would have been about $2,500 a month. In a building that not, again, this is a little broad brush, but just say not a gallon went down the drain. I mean, maybe there was 2,000 or 3,000 or something, but it's minimal. You could knock off $50, you know, so, but $2,500 a month, it's not going down the drain. It's watering grass. So, you know, they got sticker shock, no doubt. And then the water bill side was
over 1,000, say around 1,200.
Because we charge on a good part of our bill is based on the meter size. If their building probably doesn't require a 1-inch meter, probably a 3/4 would work, who knows. But they've got an inch.
2-inch meter.
2-inch meter
with a 200
because it's all going to grass. See, the building doesn't need a 2-inch meter. And so, you know, there's obviously some real issues there under our current system. Then the second issue is, you know, you can figure that out and try to come up with some things on that, is what I think you talked about, the budget and all of it. We have for a year and a half. First of all, what happened was they had a well. And reality is, I wish their well was working, but they have not been able to spend any time on the well. They don't have a water right for the well, I've been told, but I don't know if that's true or not. But
that's still in research. I'm still unfolding layers.
But the well wouldn't work because it was getting dirty and sand. So they were using domestic. The districts, the water district, they went to them, and Donna had just basically arbitrarily, I don't know that it's in the minutes ever that I've seen, but they, which we find went on there a little bit here and there, because we have others that have these gentleman agreements. They charge them for just one EDU, basically charge them $50 a month and everything else was free. So then when the city took over and they put it into our computer system and started sending them a bill, it was sticker shock. And they didn't have it budgeted. And so they came in. Also at that time, they were going to add another field, or they added two, they added one, and it looks like there's another one that's all dirt. That one's never been built. But they were working with Sun River, supposedly, and Vic Russell was in, and they were going to add some fields. And they couldn't afford the water bill they had. So we agreed to contribute $2,500 a year or summer. I mean, it's not running.
Was it that much?
Yeah.
I thought it was $1,000.
$2,500.
And it looks like there's $1,000 below, but
$2,500. And so we were giving them, you know, all, and I don't know if that $1,000 is addition.
I couldn't quite reinterpret that on the phone.
I remember at the time that we were going to give them $1,000 a year, and they had 5 years to get their pump and well into order and doing the water, doing their own water.
That's right. Getting the well working, it seems, was a stipulation.
It was a stipulation. And as a matter of fact, I'd like to hear the results of that.
At this point,
whenever you get it.
Well, I'll give you a little bit of update. They've done some research on trying to get water rights. At this point, to water the three fields that we're looking at is going to be about close to between $60,000 and $70,000 to put the well in, get the water rights, and those kind of things.
I think what I was speaking to was you were going to find a solution for the well. I think I'd like to hear what that solution is. Does that mean it's not going to be a well? Because you can't get the water rights for it, or
it's kind of in that we're trying to decide. That's why we went and talked to Rick and said, is there some way that we can come up with some sort of negotiation on this? Because at this point, to water three fields, we're not going to be able to do that with just the one well, because of the stipulation. I think
it's half acre.
So
10 acre site.
At this point, the district is looking. We would like to put in three ball fields. We have two that are currently up and running. We'd like to put in the third, only because we're looking at tournaments down the road. Tournaments at this point, we've done research on, they can bring to the community over $80,000 in one weekend, in different services, food, you know, hotels, just purchasing things here and that kind of thing. We're hoping with those kind of tournaments, they're also going to help us with funding for water and upkeep on the ball fields and those kind of things. But we can't make that step until we have the ball fields. So we're kind of in this catch-22 at this point. The well, we can get it fixed, but it's not going to water what we need to have done. So we're kind of in this, like I said, catch-22. We can't move forward until we fix the water, and we can't fix the water without your guys' help, so.
Mayor, there's another observation. I referenced it in my remarks, is that the record keeping that we inherited was embarrassing, especially for a public district. Among the things that we can't find is that agreement.
Well, we're still trying to find it, although it came through our meeting, so I'm assuming, obviously.
It was not at the meeting.
The minutes.
You didn't bring it.
At a previous council meeting.
We discussed it. They voted at some point to approve something, so it's in the minutes. I'm talking about our end. I don't know what you.
We don't even know what year that was.
Well,
okay.
Yeah.
So
I think my point about that, and that's a lot of conversation around. But my point was, I'd just like to hear what the result of reactivating that well was. That was all I was talking about. not about any of these reasons for having us come up with some kind of agreement or anything. It was just a simple question of what was the results of trying to reactivate that well?
When they tried to reactivate it, they had to look into water rights. The water rights are fairly expensive, obviously. The other issue was, if we do reactivate that well, it's not enough to water what we have. And that is, do we invest our dollars into something that isn't going to be efficient for us? Or do we look at, because of our budget, do we look at trying to figure out some sort of partnership or negotiation to spend our dollars in a way that's going to benefit the whole picture down the road? So that's kind of where we're at. The well is, at this time I know that there is sand in it. There's some problems with
the pump's not, so there's
a lot of complications.
Well, I just took from the point that you said you were still working on it when you first started speaking.
Yeah.
You were still working on it, and I was just looking for the results of that. If you're still working on it, you're still looking at something.
Yeah,
so
well, it's
that was all I was after.
Yeah, Karen. It's just kind of open-ended right now. Like I said, we've looked at the water rights side. We've looked at, you know, partnering with the city kind of thing. So we're kind of open-ended right now, which avenue we're going to go towards. But the bigger picture is, like I said, you know, we would like to bring the tournaments down here. We've been offered that opportunity.
Okay.
Mayor, the best is that from what we gathered, again, we inherited stuff, and stuff that didn't happen. One of them apparently was that they put a 3/4 horsepower deal down that and it ruined it. So we have to replace it, find the money to replace it with a 1/2 horsepower to make it even work.
I'm comfortable with the answer.
Okay.
Okay. Well, so bottom line is that the sewer bill, which is, it should be, you know, obviously not anywhere near what it is, and that's been about $2,500 a month. They paid in July, they paid $1,150 for the water.
That was waived. They paid
I'm not talking about what they actually paid, because we haven't charged them.
True.
But the bill would have been, under our current rate structure, if you did nothing, would have been $1,100.
Yes.
You add the two together, about $3,600 a month.
Yes. Using 461,000 gallons of water out at Finley View and running that through the sewer formula as well, what you just quoted, about $3,600.
So we need to decide what to kind of give us some direction as to kind of put, what I said was, we need to come up with an MOU and a memorandum of understanding, or an IGA actually, we could do it that way, but, or an MOU that's just say, you know, for X amount of time, we're going to do, it needs to be 3 to 5 years. It's not something you want to come back and deal with, you know, to provide, help them, if you choose to, provide water at Finley Butte Park and you know, do something with the sewer side. Because that's not a legitimate charge. You're not.
You know, for some kind of fee or for free?
That's, be anything you want. You could say we want you to pay $100 a month. It could be $500 a month. I think you just need to come up. We're going to need to come up with something that would work on that.
Well, I think there's reason. Personally, I think there's reason to move in this direction. But it's sort of like the same agreement we had before, where we had some kind of participation, and whatever that number is. For water, would be some of the agreement. So,
and Heritage Park, that's not involved in this, or that's mm-hmm. not a problem at all.
Heritage Park is actually ran off of wells,
okay.
So we're, you know, that area where
they can deal with that, because they probably have a meter that's 2 inches.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and then with the community center, right now they have a 2-inch meter, which equates to $230 per month on a base rate, about $80 in sewer, and then for the last 2 months, July and August, it would have been about $50 worth of usage in water. Maybe you can lower your meter size at the community center. I'm not sure. We could look into that, though, or you could look into that, and maybe cut that base rate down a little ways. I think the reason we're focused on Finley Butte is because that's where they're using hundreds of thousands of gallons,
yeah.
And that's where the large bill per water usage and then sewer is really, that's the burden.
No, and I see that. I
just want to articulate it.
Yeah.
So you really got to figure out what's going on with that well, you know?
Well, I think the answer I heard that all they can pump is water for half an acre. That does it right there. If that's the case, then and based upon a few of these passages in here, there's reason to believe that that the city, in a partnership, for several of these reasons, it would be beneficial to have an MOU or some kind of agreement that would provide water for the Findlay Butte area. I mean,
I like it. Makes sense.
Self-explanatory. So.
What kind of regulations are as for a city? What kind of green space do they need?
I don't know their number. It's part of, but it's all cities doing. I mean, school green space is part of it. It's not the city's responsibility. They just want to know how much green space there is. There's nothing that says it's up to you to provide it or to water it. But it's most cities provide a certain level of parks because they've been around for a long time, and often they had parks before there was a parks district. Is because if you look back, they were formed before there were parks districts. So your 100-year cities, which most of these cities all are in Central Oregon, they were parks districts didn't come on to the 50s, 60s, 70s, you know, later. And so the cities had operated green space and parks. Their downtown big city parks, usually like, you know, Drake Park, those kind of things were all around long before there was a parks district. And the city's water. So what happened when districts were formed, in some cases districts took them all over and paid the bill. In some cases the city kept taking care of some of those, and then they worked agreements with. In our case, the city of Lahaina didn't exist, is reversed that. Probably the only city in Oregon. Potentially.
Probably.
So the parks district was here, the parks were established, the county had some parks, and the city came around. So I can tell you that we spend less on parks than most cities, but we also weren't set up financially like a lot of cities. Water is an item we can give that isn't a direct cash cost. One of my thoughts has been that we make an MOU, memorandum of understanding, with them that would allocate X amount of water. It needs to be significant. I mean, you know, 10, 20,000 gallons doesn't water a park, so it's a bunch of water. But it would, and then in the agreement, if we needed the water for other purposes, it would be excess. In other words, our pipes in the ground are in the ground, whether we're watering their park or not. Our water tank is as big as it is, whether that we water their park. Now, you have to be careful with that, because then everyone could say that. Say, well, the school could say, you're going to have to shrink the pipes. That's not the case. I think it's because of our connection to green space and having parks in the community, which cities do provide. I think you can easily make the nexus that we're going to provide bulk excess water at no charge. A super cheap charge, you know, maybe you come up with a minimum, figuring there's some going in the building and for the restroom. But basically you're donating that water, which is what we could do. They didn't pay us anything. Well, obviously they weren't paying Donna much, and they haven't paid us much. So it's not reducing our current income, it's continuing kind of where we've been. So we were talking, Corey and I talked about, is coming up with X amount of gallons a year that we would provide and make sure it's enough to cover their third new field. Again, I mean, I think these things, it's just like pulling the Band-Aid slow. Why make it to where they're going to have to give us $600 a month when they can't afford $6,000 a year for a budget their size? So, I mean, I think it's kind of like you're going to do it, and make it good, and make sure that the public knows that the city of Lapine is providing 8 acres of watered grass, and that we are a partner with this group.
So if the
significantly
city, if the city does this, though, the park district has enough money to make all these fields
usable,
tip-top shape.
Part of our success formula which we're going to capitalize on, is that there's been a lot of people in the community that have been waiting to find out. And we have a definite agreement that we can start recruiting them, because there's people who want to go out there and mow the lawn at no cost to us. People want to do maintain everything, do repaint the Lions, Sun River. I mean, they're out there, but they need to, they can't commit without the plan.
So you have the commitments in place. If yes. The city furnishes water,
a key piece to this, a key piece to this, is that we have asked these partners to hold. We have a grant into the Oregon Park Recreation Association. That grant is to help put in the third ball field, a walking path, update the facilities there, repave the parking lot, and then help with the new irrigation system. If we do receive that grant, which is looking pretty positive, we're going to need those partnerships for in-kind volunteer hours. Those hours equal $17 an hour. So we're kind of asking these partners on hold. Also, you know, this partnership, if it happens, is a key piece that could also help with that grant. And so it's really important that we're trying to put all the pieces together to really make this a focal point in our community. You know, three ball fields, playground, nice facilities.
I think it's great. I mean, that's what the city's moving ahead to do.
Well, I think it's, there's no doubt in my mind that the council's very favorable. My impressions are that we should do this. I think just it's in the details. And I think at this point we can just ask staff to put that together, and
we'll come up with a recommendation. And I'm assuming we want at least 3 years to 5 years. Because otherwise you're just right back at this.
I personally would like to recommend we do a 3 year, only because, you know, there's a lot in play here about we've got all these volunteers, we've got all this big pie in the sky. That will happen, and I think we ought to be able to see that in 3 years.
Yeah, I can do it 3 years, and maybe it's every 3 years, you get together like this and decide if you want to, continue. Right? I think in reality, when you start, one thing about it I learned a long time ago, if you giveth, you never taketh back. So, if you do this, it's probably till death do us part.
Well, but if the ball fields bomb out,
I think for me it would be if you go down there every time when you're doing your drive-bys around town, and Scott does, and all of a sudden the water is running down the road because it's free. Now no one cares if the sprinkler's broke. Mm-hmm. They overwater, and they just run it because it's free. You know, we don't care anymore. That's the danger. You don't care as much when things are free. There's no nexus to make you go fix things. You know, that's human nature.
Just on that point, I did want to ask you, Karen, to remind me and reiterate, I think, what I heard at our meeting. You guys are actively the new caretaker of the lands out there, is being conservative with water, and you've seen usage go down?
Yes, I think when we looked over the numbers prior from last year to this year, we had cut a large sum.
Okay.
Is it here?
So lowering that, and then but anticipating maybe an extra third with the third ball field, right?
Yeah, okay. We went more to a watering schedule where you have somebody turning them on, turning them off, and so that way they're not running constantly.
Are they on clock or they're not on clock?
We have two waterings that are on the clock, and then we actually shut down the third one to save. So just because of where the district is, we've been very frugal with all aspects of the budget. So,
well, we'll come up with Corey and I'll work on some sort of an agreement that I think charges them some minimal amount just for the building if it's cheap. And we were talking about maybe an annual amount of water. If they exceed it, then the next year you can sit down and say, hey, if you go above it, so that they know. I mean, it could be 2.5 million gallons for the year. I mean, the fact is, there isn't much, and April doesn't use much, and October doesn't use much, but you know, you're using 400,000 or 500,000 gallons in June and or July and August. But that's just what the nature of a park, and you know. So if you're kind of comfortable knowing that, then we'll just put together something.
And we've got plenty of water.
It's 12 gallons a minute, I annualized. And
yeah, we've been providing it now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's every little bit now. I think it means, you know, like I say, this isn't, you know, someone else said, well, you know, you can help this group or that group. I mean, I think the park is used by everyone, you know, basically all ages, whether young and old, from you know, grandma to the person pushing the stroller. Well,
it's per se not so, city, but it is city, you know.
Well,
it's part of
our contribution, right, to the people of South Deschutes County. And kids are going to come play Little League. They might be 10 miles out of town. I mean, that's just what you do. And be glad that we don't have parks and we have to mow the darn things. So someone else takes care of it. It's almost cheaper to you know what I'm saying? Let them, because it's going to be, the last thing that happens is if they were to leave, and you know, they'd all do like everything else, they come down and, like the little triangle with the flagpoles down here. You know, we're mowing it and we're watering it. We used to do neither.
Because we're going to have all this extra landscaping in 2 years. You know, so we're going to be using up a lot of water. You know, but
well, we'll be doing
our plenty of it, I guess.
We'll be doing our own parks.
Right.
Like I say, in an agreement, we would say if the water needed to be used for something, we have the right to take that. I think that's just, if you're giving something like that, it's that we have to have it because it's excess. That's how you can justify, you know, we only are going to ever allocate up to 70% or 80% of our maximum. You know, so we want to make sure that this is, they're using that excess that we have to have.
Well, and I think a good example of that would be if industry all of a sudden came in here and we moved ourselves into a position to have to provide those upper levels of water, then it would no longer become excess. It would,
water emergency, they got to shut it off.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that kind of things. But yeah, you would anyway.
Yeah.
As a part of it. All right.
We will work on
that. We'll work on that. We'll spend the next 60, 90 days on it, but you don't have any, I'm assuming what we're going to do is we'll kind of consider it. We're retroactive because they've got these big bills that they haven't paid, and we kind of stopped charging. We haven't. They got several thousand dollars worth. So, and it's going to take us a few days, 90 days, to get it put together. So right now, you're about done watering, or you are done watering.
About that, I think he's getting ready to winterize everything.
Yeah,
next 2 weeks. Yep.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Well, that's too easy for you. Just remember, next time someone comes to you guys, wants to give you a building, or land, or a project, look at
say no.
Water, sewage, all the little issues that are free, that sound free,
and maintenance.
Yes. And because that's, you know,
we get it. We get it.
And of course, in all the future advertisements for that area down there, it's going to have a big thing about the city.
There you go.
Maybe the new sign gets down there. Findlay Butte Park partnership with the city of Lapine and Lapine Parks and Rec.
As it should be.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks.
See you later.
All right. Where are we at?
Okay, item number 4 is a memorandum of understanding with the Lapine Fire District on water use.
Okay, you each have a copy. You should. You get that out. There you go. We've talked about it a little bit, the Lapine Fire District. Fills their fire trucks in the bays, and they will use thousands of gallons of water, but it goes into fire trucks. They have no ability to separate off the water meter. We today had lunch with a couple firemen, from one from Cook County, one from Redmond. and both of them said that their departments are charged for water in the bay. So while we heard that was almost un-American, it is American and it's done all over. But it's different than what people were doing here, which we find with all kinds of things. So I just want you to know, I think on the record, that basically Redmond charges the Redmond Fire District for water. They're a rural fire district, they've taken areas outside the cities, you know, off of these fire districts still a long ways. But what they do is they give them the water out of the fire hydrants. And so, as we were told today, they go outside. When they were the city of Redmond Fire District, fire department in the city, owned by the city, they didn't have to pay for water. They became a rural fire district just 2 years ago. Then they were no longer a city entity, so they got billed. And so then the fire department said, oh, we don't want this water bill. So they fill in the fire hydrant, and fire hydrants aren't metered, and no one pays for water out of a fire hydrant if you're a firefighter. So that's what they did. So the policy in most of these departments are that they fill at the fire hydrants on their property so that they are not metered. Jeffco Fire has the domestic side of the fire station metered. The bay side is unmetered. It's just when the line comes to the fire station, the part going into where they sleep and eat is metered. And then there's a line that breaks off and goes over into the bays that's big two and a half inch standpipes. And they use that to do all their stuff. That station, well, I don't know why they did that. They were built in the 80s. You know, Redmond Fire Station is old and been remodeled. Prineville Fire Station was old and remodeled. Sisters is a $3 million remodel, but the bay parts have been there. So that's just kind of a little history on how it's done. The reality is a little bit to a smaller degree what we just said there. If you're going to give them a gallon of water out of the fire hydrant that's literally, say, sitting out here, or you let them use it inside, it's 100 gallons outside or 100 gallons inside. They used 100 gallons.
And I think the fact that you've got a weather condition,
you're a little colder here.
That you know, firemen to go outside, I think it's logical. In 0 degree weather to fill up their, you know.
So, I told Mike, Chief Suckus, that we'd work on this, and as you well know, he was down here and was upset about all of it. And then, of course, we didn't know anything about the bays and the metering and all of those things, so we went to work on it. So, we have gotten, and you'll see there's even a calculation on page 3, use the City of Portland meter calculation. He gave me how many urinals, showers, toilets, sinks, laundry sinks, dishwashers, and they have X amount of things. You can see them there. Calculates to a 1-inch meter. So what we did is said, based on your domestic side of the building, you need a 1-inch meter. Instead, they have a
2-inch.
The difference is because of the fire trucks. So it's not just picked out of thin air. Then we said, how many men do you have? And he has 3 to 4 that sleep there 24/7, and he has 2 students sleeping there 24/7. So about 6 sleeping there. They also have a community room where they do training, and I don't know if groups sometimes have meetings there, but they do also have a kitchen area that the public uses on things. So we also, Corey called and got how many firemen are sleeping at the different fire stations in Central Oregon. And and there is no science or math to this number. We just figured about 1,000 gallons a month per full-time employee sleeping there. Thinking they don't wash clothes as much as they would at home, but they do take probably more showers, for sure, if they come back from a fire. They eat together. Do they eat? I mean, is it the same as a family of 5 with 3 little kids and mom and dad? Who knows? Is anyone in here that thinks they know that? Then it's... So we said we'd do 1,000 gallons a man and 1,000 for the community room and meetings. If they went to 8 people, it would go up 2,000. We base this off of 6, because 6 employees, if they add more people, it would go up accordingly. So and it says in the MOU that it's based on 1,000 gallons per full-time employee.
Right.
And then if they add more people, or if they add more showers and bathrooms and it becomes an 1.5-inch meter requirement, then that would also go up. And then as our rates change, the rate is changed with it. It's just you know, our rates per gallon will go up.
Right.
So we have, and he's agreed to this. He hasn't agreed to the MOU because he hasn't seen it until today, but he understands
that concept.
The yeah. concept of 6,000 gallons, 7,000 total for the month, and the 1-inch meter, he understands that. And then I put together the MOU. It's a 5-year agreement, but it'll automatically roll forward unless either party, either one party, could want to break it. So if someone wasn't happy with it, future councils or something, they have that right to break it. In the first 5 years, it would take an agreement of both parties. They're to notify us every year if they add more staffing or decrease that. If they were to do a layoff and went to 2 people, then you would adjust it down to 4,000 gallons. So they're getting free water in the bays, and that includes really washing their turnouts, hosing down fire trucks, well, anything they do.
Well, they've been filling up outside lately. I mean, they're using the hydrant outside.
They're probably training.
Yeah, training right now.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Yeah. So this is it, and what we'll do is if you guys think it's basically fine, and Mike will send me his comments. He may have a different name for the district or some things, but we would have it at our next meeting, our official meeting for approval. We might just put it on the consent agenda, actually, because if you agree to it, it's fine. We'll just...
I think if we take it home, look it over, it could be put in the consent agenda.
Stu isn't here, and we're missing a couple, so we might just put it on. But
send him.
Yeah.
Whatever.
We've talked about it a couple times.
And how about the sewer?
Sewer is the same. Okay. The sewer is based off a 1-inch meter and the 7,000 gallons.
Right. Okay.
Because that's all going down the shower drains. And
in the sewer?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, when you're holding off a fire truck, it's obviously going down the drains. But the big gallons is going in the tender. The tender that they have is, I think, 3,500 gallons. It could be 4,000, but 3,000 to 4,000 gallons. Every time they fill that up, and if they're during July and August when they're, you know, they may go fill it up several times a month, and so that's can add up pretty fast. You can use a 50 or 100,000 gallons, but it's not going down the drain; it's going off to a fire somewhere. So again, with the service we're providing, water for, you know, the fires are all over the place.
The majority. They're still cutting back as much as they can cut back.
Yeah.
You know,
it just everyone
because they haven't. There's not a lot of landscaping out there. You know,
they have reduced their landscaping. Yes.
Yeah. So how's that gonna affect anything?
Nothing. No. This is our number, and if they want to water their rocks, they water their rocks.
And he's seen it and happy with it.
Huh?
And he's seen it. He's happy with it.
He knows the numbers. Okay. He knows what the water bill was, what his new bill is, which is about 15% higher than it was. So it's, you know, and that our rates went up 10% sewer, 3%. So he was fine with that.
Okay.
And again, you know, he'll read this.
He's been pretty unhappy with us.
Well, I'm not saying that changes.
I'd like to see him happy. Every time he sees me, he frowns.
but you know what? Never mind.
Yeah.
But what they're going to end up paying, though, is equivalent to Redmond or any place.
No, not that way, because everyone has their own water rates.
I think the key here is the fact that it would be something unusual to have to redo the meters to get this into a situation where we could meter it. And I mean, it's reasonable here to look that based on a person using X amount of water, we choose an arbitrary 1-inch number and a 7,000 gallons for, you know,
I mean, if they want to provide.
Okay. We good with this?
Yes.
All right. Let's go to item 5. Review of the Industrial Park lease agreement.
This is just part of it. Sorry. You know.
Oh, you got one. You have two. You're a double fisted.
Oh my gosh. Here, why don't you go back? Back there. Okay. Just a couple. This is just kind of a brainstorming session. couple things comes up. It looks like we're going to, for the first time now, since we've taken over leasing and or selling an industrial park, we'll have some of the revenue coming into us, because the leases before were all with the county, and now we're getting new leases, some are expiring. We have a five-acre lease out that will be paying us about $400 a month. That will start soon, most likely. We have a lease out to a person on 3.38 acres that will pay us about $500 a month. So together, the two of those, you're $900 a month. And then we have also an option out on one, we're renewing it. It'd be a two-year option to buy, no lease, because they're not leasing the land. It would be an option to purchase, and that'd be $5,000 cash, just for their option. And then if they close, we'd subtract it from the purchase price. They had a $5,000 option with the county, that expired. And they had the same thing where that money came off of the purchase price. Now it's not go this way. In other words, they don't get 10 off.
Do they give us that $5,000?
They will. Yeah. They will.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, when we do the lease.
Is this somebody we can talk about?
Really, it's best at these that you don't really put names in, because it really doesn't matter. At some point, I mean, when we get an agreement, they're public record.
Right.
But I think that when people haven't signed them and they haven't seen them, it's best that you not get that specific. Under our agreement with the county, the city manager is to negotiate these things. So I've been spending tons of time on these, getting these, and then getting our initial leases worked out, because the county had the leases. So we need to have a lease that's lease only, then we needed a lease with an option, and then we need an option only. And then each one's a little different. One of the leases is a strip of land that we would not let them put a building on and would not ever sell because of its location. And it's because it's important to the railroad tracks. And no, don't ever, if I die tomorrow, don't ever sell that strip of land. Because it runs parallel to the railroad tracks. It's not needed right now, but the railroad is there. If you ever need a spur for some big industry to access, you've sold that off. You can't get that land back. And when the county set up the industrial park, they left this long strip on purpose. Well, then the landowner next door says, well, geez, that thing's just sitting there. I'd like it. And so I said, fine, but it's lease only. You can't build a building on it. And we have the right with 180 days notice to break the lease. So we can give 6 months notice to break the lease. If we had a big customer come that needed land to put a spur, and those things are 2 and 3 years in the making. So, we have 6 months. So they have to move all of their stuff off. And but in the meantime, we'll collect some rent. That I put that rate lower because of those encumbrances. They can't do some things that you could do on other ones. And so, we kind of have a rate structure that, well, it's in my brain, but it's also beyond that. I mean, I do this for a living, so it's a little bit what I do all the time. We also looked at the release rates that the county had. And then you kind of look, it's like, is it back in and landlocked? Does it have restrictions, or is it right along the road? The road stuff's going to be a little higher. And you look at job creation. It's all of those things. And so it's working out pretty good. But these are our first ones. We have another person will be coming, and they were going to come today, but then they want an acre or two or three. Actually, probably an acre or two.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll see. But that, this is like fishing, and they're right, and then, you think you've landed them, and they're off before you get in the boat. But we'll see on this one. But that could be another acre of land. So,
do we have a map of all that?
Yeah. Yeah, that right there, yellow. Is that yellow or green?
Yeah.
Yellow. All of that's owned by the county, which we manage for them.
As far as who rents. Who's leasing what?
All right. Yeah, I mean, ownership's all right there, although we need to get the new one up, because that one's got a couple of them off and it bothers a couple people. But
yeah.
But the map's good. Here's the strip. See this strip right here?
Right. Okay, that's the one.
That's the one we're going to lease, but not lead. Because the idea was you got that propane spur, right. See, but you never know what you might need there. And once you get rid of it, in the county, they said they did that on purpose. It was not by accident. And when I talked to Susan Ross at the county, I said, what do you think of us doing anything permanent on that? And she said, over her dead body. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, you're right.
Yeah.
They're that smart. So we've talked to this gentleman. He knows. He's not going to build anything on it. Just use it. So that's kind of our philosophy of kind of where we're headed. But it's almost not a daily, but weekly discussions we have with people on the industrial part of leasing. We had a gentleman who wanted to do a commercial growing operation, could be sitting here for all I know. But we said he needed to go look at the private lots. Just, you know, let him go research that out first. If it's like we had this one call the other day, you know, he's looking at the whole thing, and we felt that his use is better east of the tracks. Mm-hmm. There are people that do better west of the tracks, and there's people that do better east of the tracks. And that would be, are you heavier industry, lighter industry? West of the tracks, you have more landscaping, more, you want it saved for kind of light industrial. If you put a heavier industrial there, you've got to shield them more with things, because again, these things are forever. And so, you know, we've got some options there. The biggest issue, that's why I gave you this option thing, and I thought it would be, what I'm doing, what Corey's doing now with me, and so if you hear, whether it's a lease, but I had this in the option, so I thought you'd see it. If you look, what we're doing is, we don't want, and the county didn't have it, although they will admit that they should have, all that land that's sold that isn't yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And a good example is all of these that are, you can see aerial, these are all been sold. How many of them have a building? One, two, three, four. All of this stuff is vacant. What you had happen was speculators, because the city, county in their case, sells land cheaper to stimulate the economy. They bought them up thinking they could double their money. And what most cities do, or publicly owned industrial sites, you say, uh-uh. You go to Madras, or, I mean, this is true anywhere, but I worked as mayor in Madras. Our industrial park is like this. We have a buyback clause. So if you buy the land and you say, oh, I'm going to put up a building, and so we sell it to them cheap, then 2 years later, they haven't done anything, you have the right to buy it back at the purchase price. It stops all speculating. Now, we've had a couple people come in that I have told them, you must build what you're telling me you're going to build, or we can buy it back. And they don't like that, and they leave.
Yeah.
I said, but you're telling me you're going to do something, but if I tell you it's required you do what you're telling me, you don't want to commit to that.
But as far as these that are sold,
they're done.
That's not the case.
We can't do anything. They're done. So we already have a lot of open land in here. And I would tell people, if you want to buy and speculate, go buy from these people. There's several of them for sale. But they're double and triple our price. See? So we're very, you know, so that's the path we're on that I'm taking, and it is what you want to do. And the county will admit that that's probably what they should have done at that time. But that's fine. You know, we got a mix here. So what you'll see in here, if you go down to, maybe it's on the second page. Yeah, go to, okay, J. Go to J. Within 12 months, although this is just the draft, but I think we're going to move that to 24. 12 is quick, because sometimes by the time you do plans and things, again, we're big picture people. We're not trying to rush people, but we're not into speculating. So you would get, within 24 months after purchase of the property, the lessee shall use reasonable diligence to acquire all necessary permits and initiate construction. And like I say, I'm going to work on these months in here. And then it even says, to that, if you go down, no structure shall remain in a partially finished condition any longer than is reasonably necessary for completion. It needs to be performed in a workmanlike manner. In other words, we don't want them to come by. They put up a few walls, but never actually finish it. And then they're going to come in and say, oh, but I did it. You say, but it's not functioning. It's not finished. And so then you have K, it's a failure to construct. And then it goes into our right to basically purchase back. It's our option. You may say, nah, I don't want to do that. We're not going to purchase it back. We don't have to purchase it. It's your right to purchase it. And so...
That sounds like a legal mess. We're trying to force somebody to buy it back.
Oh, it's in the deed. I mean, it's going to be recorded. It's a deed restriction. Yeah, oh, sure, you could get into some, you know, battles. But I think what it really does, it stops them before they even... They don't even want to buy it, right, if that's their plan. But the theory is our publicly owned industrial land is to create wealth and jobs to grow the community. It's not at all designed to make
money
in land trading.
Right.
Now, if you go build your building and 3 years later, you can go sell it. I mean, you know, you did what you did. It's fine. We just need to make sure that they're, because we're not selling or renting land for people to do nothing with it. They all come in and tell you, I'm going to do something. And then we put down what that something is, and that they need to do that something.
Is this a general document? I mean, this says option to purchase. Are we just talking about, is this a general framework of documents you'll use?
Yeah, this is, you know, like, this is actually page 11. Okay. I didn't bore you with a 18-page document.
No, I just...
But yeah, and then also what we do on a lease, it's kind of the same. If you lease it and you're going to do X, you need to do X. In the case of a lease, A, we haven't sold it, so we can terminate the lease.
Right.
You know, or you don't release it when it comes up. That's a little easier. That you do a 2 or 5 year lease. At least it's not forever. It's the sale is the bigger problem.
Okay. I have a question about what we're going to do with the money.
Coming up. That's our next part. Questions? Are you guys?
Nope.
Me? Because you.
I like your idea on that, but my question is, do you have a size restriction? Somebody comes in and buys it, tells you they're going to put a big building up, they put a 10 by 20 up, just to set on
it. Yeah, you know, that's a good point.
Yeah.
I like that.
When they come in, they have to have a plan.
Right.
I mean, well, except sometimes they, well.
But let's say I come in and I tell you I want to put a 100 by 100 shop up for a warehouse. And then I turn around and put a 10 by 20 garage up and tell you I put the building up, but yet I want to sell it 2 years, 3 years.
Yeah.
We might be able to. I said I put a building up, but I didn't put what I said I would.
Exactly.
So would that.
I like that.
We might be able to put something that, I talked to legal folks, you said, I mean, you get into a battle, these are a little tough, but you maybe could put something that it has to be similar to your initial plans.
Right, maybe that would cover you.
Something.
Square footage or something, you know.
I think the real, what it does to a degree is, Corey and I are going to do a lot of due diligence with people. Now, what it does is it forces what they consider uncomfortable discussions. Mm-hmm. Because they hear, well, cities sell land cheap. And when you start then asking them about more specifics, they feel like you're being a little too, what do you mean? I told you what I'm doing. Well, yeah, okay.
And that's right, and that's all part of it. But then you made a comment earlier this evening about you're not going to be here one day.
Right.
And you're not a bit afraid of these uncomfortable discussions.
Oh, Corey's getting good at them.
Well,
listen to him on the phone.
I think the idea that the gentleman has pointed out.
No, I'll try. Because I sent an email back to the attorney. He just got this part. I got it at 4:45. And I told him he needed to kind of, I think, because the other thing is he talks about a building. You may lease the land for, in our case here, store logs. But we have land back there leased that was probably to store logs, and there isn't a cord of wood on it. But our leases are so cheap, it's cheaper than mini storage. So then all you see is some old equipment sitting out there. It's a boneyard. See, and the reason for this is industrial land is expensive. We'll get to the money side. Okay. This industrial land is expensive. When you use up that, guess what? You know, we gotta go to a new big bare piece of ground. There's plenty of land that we own, you know, all around that we own now. We have 800 acres east. We have land to expand the industrial park, but you're putting about $200 to $300, well, without, call it a, just for the fun of it, call it a couple $300 a foot to put in road, sewer, water, and electricity, I would say, without sidewalks.
Three or four hundred.
Okay. So when we want to go down and you take one of these things and you're going to go out and put down another road, we need $1 million in the bank to go do that. And if you used up your land, you haven't created jobs, and you can tell by these arrows. In other words, you look at that, look how many, some of those even that are purchased, the big ones you take, which now has logs on it again, but that big 7 or 8 acre piece that's vacant in that picture, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right here?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. See, when they buy them, if you go through the Prineville Industrial Park, you find all kinds of the old part, all kinds of vacant land, because mills bottom, they've closed, and this stuff just sits there. These two are rented. Part of this is rented. This is rented. And you can drive out on your own. I'll just leave it at that. You drive by this and tell me how much is going on there.
Not much.
So we just are going to be more diligent about what you're doing. We're giving good deals. But the trade-off of that is you've got to produce and do some things. If you just want to do it for yourself, there's half the industrial parks for sale. Private owners. Do you think that's good?
I just have one question about that. So I get your point about building in a timely manner. What about vacant buildings, ones that then turn around and... Or,
I think at that point we're kind of...
You know, I mean, I'm thinking if somebody does say they want to buy the land for greenhouses or something, and then they go defunct and you have a greenhouse out there that's just...
I think once they're built, they're done with their requirements. You have to stop somewhere. And the theory there would be that if you own a building and it's there, you are going to try to rent it out because, you know, all of our buildings are rented in the industrial park. I don't think we'd be that vacancy right now. It's the vacant land. Because you can take in the old or new, pretty much, I think every building is rented. I mean, I'm not saying there's a one, but it's... So it's the vacant land that's sitting there. Yeah. So if you're... Just so... And that's it. That's just for you to know. We're working on leases. This one will go back and forth here for a few days. We'll get that out. And then we'll have our option thing. And then BioGreen's bugging me about theirs. They called again today on their... They'd like an option back on their 20-some acres. So we're going to work on that. We got Anderson Perry doing a little work calculating for us. And would you check on that, see how they're coming on that? Well, we'll see him tomorrow.
Yeah,
correct. We'll see him and Ben. So we'll actually talk to him.
Okay.
So basically, we're getting a few coming in.
Yeah.
About leaving.
Yeah, no. I would say, wouldn't you be surprised how many calls you get almost? I mean, it's kind
of... A lot of calls. Yeah, there's been a lot of activity in the last couple of months, I would say. And some of that's starting to materialize.
And we do try to send them to the private people too, because mm-hmm. then they'll... And one of the guys that's got three or four lots in there, I told him what kind of our price range can be. And he's like, see, he won't sell that cheap. Because they all paid more back in the boom.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
Everybody comfortable with that? Okay.
The money.
The money.
Remember the money.
Oh, I forgot the money.
We need to come up with, as I keep telling the LED committee, which is our Lapine Industrial Group, they were wanting to spend money and we didn't have any. I said, well, we hadn't worried about it because we don't have any. I'm thinking, Corey and I were talking tonight, maybe we should actually, like we do with the transit room tax, open up a fund in our next year's budget that is industrial park, actually have an industrial park fund. We would transfer money in like we do for Janet's position, like we transfer money into other things. We we would transfer in, and then we'd have a revenue from lease. All lease payments go in, all land sales go in. We'd have a certain amount for marketing and other things. But the real reason I'd want to do it is we need to almost set as a goal, maybe we set aside half of what we take in, and that's arbitrary. But to start, half of what comes in needs to be set aside in a reserve fund for building the roads when you've leased out and sold out your land.
Right.
Or otherwise what will happen is it will get used up, you'll now be short of land, and you'll have no money. But you really will need significant dollars. You know, $100,000 isn't going to get you any new industrial land. You need significant dollars, and so over the next decade, you know, if we end up taking in $3,000, $4,000, or $5,000 a month someday, you know, and you're taking in $50,000 a year, hopefully we have some amount of money down the road. And you can leverage with the state on some of this to help. But and then you, when you sell those lands, but the county had the money to develop this, we're not that deep pocket. Now we split half our money with the county. They get half, we get half. Minus expenses, all we're going to try to recover most expenses from the buyers. But so if we only will get half. But anyway, my thought was put half away. The other half then is available, could be used for things. But you know, we might want to market. You want to
maybe a website. You know, yeah. It could be any number of marketing tools. I think it's a fantastic idea.
And that would be under the city control. LED would make recommendations to us. They would say, hey, we need 500, like kind of like people come in for a grant. We'd like $500 to build into the new sign, which we're going to probably just go do the sign because there's, we need to do that. But that kind of stuff, yeah. That was how, but I think if we don't build a separate fund, it's going to get lost in our general fund.
Right.
And then you never can see it.
I agree. I think it's, I do too. I think it's prudent.
Yep. Most cities have an industrial park fund if they have industrial lands. So, and Janice brought it up at the LED meetings.
What will we do in the meantime? I mean, there's opportunity now, and let's say if we do some leasing and we get $1,000 a month and we, you know, it's going to be sometime before our next budget comes in,
we can keep track. Ashley can keep track, and then what we could do, we could then, for next year's budget, say we're going to end up with $25,000 more we took in than we thought we were. Mm-hmm. We can just next year, that's going to be carryover,
right?
And then we're going to take $25,000 and transfer it in. It's a net,
right?
Nothing, but that we get it out of the general fund. Because it'll just be carryover. Because we haven't budgeted any lease income.
If we saw an opportunity to do something,
yes,
in let's say in January, and LED needed to do something, we would have the option to do something.
Correct.
Okay.
As long as for the amounts of money you're talking, we don't want to have to do a supplemental budget.
Right.
Because if we haven't budgeted taking in money and we haven't budgeted spending money. However, we have other things that we budget that we don't buy, and as long as it's
used, I got you.
Yeah, we can.
And of course, we all have a copy of the budget, so we know how that works.
Well, we got it memorized.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. But I just thought it was good to talk about this whole industrial park because it's all new to us, and we're definitely doing a lot of things. And I'm putting these leases together, and quote, what I crossed off here was the purchase price.
I resisted asking about that. Is that something you didn't want us to know?
Well, you know, what happens is it's like everyone, whoever, if they see a price, like we were talking about this other property, this one particular lease here or option is cheaper because of its location. The other one that we're talking about is going to be more. Again, these are way under market. So, you know, but you take where we've got one, that's right next to the, they need lots of power. So they are over where Midstate is because they need to hook right into that yard. So say we get a small data center, anything computer related, and they're clean and nice, and they need, we have all those megawatts sitting there, which is no other industrial parks hardly have, other than Prineville, and that's the only reason Facebook's there, is because of the power line. I've said it to these guys before, is that there's nothing magical about Facebook and Apple being in Prineville other than those big BPA lines that run east of here run through the middle of their industrial park. And they would never go to Redmond or Madras, they will tell you, because they can't. They would spend millions to bring the lines, but you couldn't even get through the EP or the NEPA process through the Forest Service to even get the lines, those big towers. You spend 10 years doing it, and then you might not get it. So they can't do it. So they located there because of those big power lines. They could build underneath them. That's really what happened. But in our case, we've got over, I think it's 10 or 15 megawatts, which isn't enough for an Apple. But small data centers, which there's tons of them, are out there. And these guys now, they would charge the mid-state has changed their policy. Right. 2 or 3 years ago, they said you would pay a fee to use that, not your monthly fee. You pay almost like an SDC. You would pay a fee because you're using our capacity. And that fee is a bunch of money. They've now, and the companies all said, well, I don't want to do that. So mid-state has said, you know what, we have excess power. It's a little bit like the water that we're talking about for parks. It's excess. That power is sitting there frazzling your hair if you had any when you're standing in the yard making it stand up. It's there, but it's unused. So they're looking at it differently, is saying we want that business in there. So we're saving all of that area. Corey, you want to point to the
sure.
area, but
yeah.
All of, there's nothing in there now. All of those are close to the yard.
Oh, okay.
So we're very particular about who goes back there. If you're not a large power user and power is just, it's just normal, if you're just normal business, you have no reason to be back there. And we're saving that. Because if you let them go over here, up here, you got to run a big transmission line. Because they can tap right into this yard.
Right. Don't I recall something about Mid-State has said now they will start. Remember when we started talking about bringing more power over, you know, going across to Reed and then coming out that way?
Are you talking about going back behind our new forest land?
I think so, yeah.
And coming down to Gwickia. That was going to some river.
But it was something about now that Mid-State is saying that they're going to just put that in. They're not going to charge where they used to charge hundreds of thousands of dollars to put that power in to get it someplace. They find it better for business just to put it in, make it available, and then collect the...
I'm not sure about all that, but I think...
I thought I'd heard that. I thought Dave had said that.
So when you see, I mean, there's really more to us when someone just comes in and wants an acre of ground. Like, I think you're hoping what you get from this discussion, there's a lot of... Is it clean? Is it dirty? Is it heavy? Is it light? You want to lease? Do you want to buy? Do you want to lease? Option buy? And what's your power usage? And then we have to then figure out where is it best for you to go. The lucky thing is no one else in Central Oregon has the ability to have all the things you have. You have the best industrial site in Central Oregon. Now no one knows it.
But that's changing.
Yeah, no, we can do a bunch of work on that, I think. Because you're paying in Bend $3, $4, $5 a foot. Down here in Lapine, we can sell at $1, $1.50. So when you're out buying 2 or 3 or 5 acres, you can save considerable money. So, and you're paying $1.50 to $2.50 in Madras and Prineville. Redmond's probably $3.50, depending on where it is. But Bend's moving. I mean, they don't have much. They could be paying $5 at Bend, really. They just don't have it. So we've got some neat opportunities here.
Any other comments, Council?
But we can, you've got a magic file up there on what everybody's paying, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I know.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to be nosy someday.
Well, we don't have any. Trying to catch up. We have no leases yet until these are signed. Right. All the others were with the county.
With the county.
They'll be expiring next year. And so they pay them direct. Now, what will happen is the county will get paid. The lease... How this works is, I negotiated, we're using our lease template, which I didn't, the county's already signed off on our first one within hours. They said, their legal team said fine, which I wasn't sure how that was gonna go, but that went fine. So There are Jeremy, and they have a new assistant down there, attorney. He's helping. They actually are great leases. So I negotiate them. We fill in. What we do is, when we get some, we do a one page. What do you want to call it? A lease summary or not? Basically, kind of a. We do a one page. And if Ken comes in and he says, I want. They all want to know kind of price, and you know, it's normal. So what we do is. And I stole this from my own because I use them in my business. So what we do is, you know, you put the name of the company and everything, the acres, the legal description of the lot, the zoning of the lot, you know, what's going to be used for. These are just like one line. And then, you know, you'll put in, you know, a lease rate of X or a range of X, a sale price of X, or we won't let you buy this particular lot. There's no option to purchase. Or there is, and the number of years, 3 years, 5 years, or three with renewals. Then they get, so one page, maybe page and a half, they get a cheat sheet. And then we give it to Janet generally from EBCO. Janet then talks further with them, and she kind of becomes their advocate. Then she comes and fights with us. So we sit upstairs, you know, say, well, that's too good. We do that. Because, you know, she's their advocate. I'm our advocate and theirs. I love them all. But, you know, those EBCO people, sometimes they give away the farm. it's been good, but that's kind of how it goes.
Okay.
So we'll have our own leases here soon.
Cool. Who's going to help you, Corey? Sounds like another person in the making here.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Learning a lot.
Okay, moving on. Public comment. Don.
Don Brenner, Preston Creek. You know, we took in the water and sewer district several years ago. It seems to me right after that, the city council was talking about adding cable to the district at that time. I mean, building the water and sewer department in there. And along with the same discussion, we were told that we needed to get additional water rights if we were going to do this. And as I sat here and listened tonight, all of the water that you're giving away, do we have water rights that are adequate to do that, plus any further expansion that we might want to do as a city?
We're fine doing cable right now.
We are.
We have our water right now is up to 1,000.
Right. There were maybe 350 in the summer.
So we have water rights because we redid a plan. So we got all of our water right. We have some pending water right of about 400 gallons a minute, which we have to perfect. So we have 1,000 gallons a minute right now we can use water rights. We don't have to do a thing to use those. And those are forever. We are using about 350.
Yes.
350 maximum per day. On a hot July day. So that gives us 650 cushion. So we're okay. You could double the size of the city, we'd be at 700. Well, that's 20, 30 year deal. Now, the tricky thing is industry. Because industry comes along and they can, you know, take as much as 200 houses if it's the right industry. That's what will throw you up quick. It isn't building out another Crescent Creek. You build a new Crescent Creek with 40 or 50 houses, wouldn't add 20 gallons a minute, 10 gallons a minute. So we're good. So it's really industry. Now then, we have 2.23 CFS that's pending, which will produce about another 400 gallons a minute. So that would get us to 1,400, 400 plus 1,000. That we want for that 20-year out, 30-year out. Okay, that water right, we have to mitigate. And we need 400 credits.
Yeah.
And I got all this, I mean, this is not my area, but 400 credits that we would have to purchase on over time.
So BioGreen really wouldn't, if they came in and used all the water that they said they were going to, it wouldn't affect us.
Well, it does because of this. You're right. So they come in and need 320, was it
280.
280? So, yeah, they got under 300. When they were here before, they wanted 400 gallons a minute. They just came back now under 300, so, but call it 300. If we give them 300, they buy 300, I mean, that's what they consume. Then now we're now we're at 650, and with growth over a few years, now you're starting to get to 700, and you give him 11 gallons a minute, and you know, you start to where you need to be knowing where that's starting to get, you're at 70%. Basically, it's 700 gallons out of 1,000. You're at 70%. Now you're starting to, when we need to know where that next 400 gallons is coming from. Now, if you pay, just say 10,000 gallons of credit, that's $4 million. If you take, I don't have a calculator, but take $4 million, divide it by 700 customers, and then run that. Bottom line is, it's almost, I mean, it's an unreal number. In other words, your water bill could go up, again, he can sit and figure out why we're talking. But you know, that's the issue. So, BioGreen, if they're going to consume a third of our available water at 300 gallons, say, they need to mitigate that. Yeah. They need to pay for. And if we're going to need $4 million worth of mitigation, say, and they're going to use a third of that future, they need to pay us $1 million or $1.5 million in order to, and it, insert anyway, it's not BioGreen, it could be Company X, it could be a water plant.
It could be anybody.
Yeah, so it's very tricky and dicey when you get into a commercial industrial customer that uses that much water. And what happened in Eugene, and I just said this to BioGreen the other day when they were here, Eugene went out to the Hyundai, it's a weird Japanese name, it's a semi, one of those
microchip
company like Tektronix and any of those ones in Portland. They went to Eugene, big celebration, the mayor's cut the ribbons and you know, he was king for the day and did the parade and everything. Everyone's excited they're going to have 1,000 employees. The city of Eugene ran out water lines to it, built water tanks, and it was cost him several million dollars. And then the company, through its, was going to buy it, pay for it over years of a fee, and their usage. 3 years later, they're closed.
I know right where you're talking about.
They just went up for auction the other day. City of Eugene is now stuck on the hook for millions of dollars of improvements that only serve this plant. And that has now been passed on to the ratepayers. Now, in that case, that company, while it was a huge user, but Eugene is a 200,000 people, it is a small part of their overall water usage. But we're talking about a company that would be 50% of our total. So it's like if we spend a bunch of money to bring that much capacity there and it went away, we aren't making a small group, I mean, it's a very small group of people are going to make up for that. City of Madras expanded their sewer system because the prison was going to have the full thing going. And they calculated up what they were going to pay monthly, and part of that goes to debt service. Well, they've only opened, 10 years later, the minimum is the only one open. Two-thirds of the prison is sitting there vacant, getting dusty, not paying a dollar into the sewer system. The sewer plant is sitting there wanting activity, not getting any. But their debt service they borrowed to build it, they make a payment on. They just raised the sewer rates down there a bunch, and part of it is to pay the debt on that capacity that's never been used. So there's a lot of lessons out here, and when you're a small town, you have to be careful. And that's why we're very supportive of industry, but when you use and consume a certain amount of water, we got to be very prudent.
Hmm. Well, as far as the city's water, though, take away the industrial park, the only big project we'll ever have coming up is basically Kegel, and that's all residential.
Correct.
Unless we extend city limits.
Something. The new neighborhood, if that builds out, if we get into a big growth, there's 1,000 houses can go in there. That's laid out 540 acres. So if that built out, and if there was incentives for them to build that out, which there's right. problems with that, but that would be a big
yeah. But see, you're if at a the reality is, I mean, even if you look at even in the fast growing cities, if you look at a 20-year average, and that's what yeah. you have, you cannot look at the booms because the bus cycles average them out. If you get 2 and 3% growth, so 20 years at 2 and 3% is you can do the math. We have 700 customers, and that's how a third or 40% commercial. 30% is commercial. So you know you can figure it out. If bottom line is, in 20 years we, you know, you may add that subdivision he's talking about is a 30 or 40 year. But that's where we need that 400 gallons.
But still that whole thing, and I'll wrap this up just for a note. Bend has no more space. It can be years before they ever get any space to build, and eventually they put the double highway down here, which is the state's top priority to do.
You mean the old four lane?
Yeah, the four lane highway coming down. I mean, it would be reasonable to think that, hey, all of a sudden, the developers can say, hey, you know, here's an opportunity to move, and we'll bedroom everybody down here. So yeah. so there's a whole swirl around that, but you're more right than I am.
We just don't know what the percent's
right,
going to be.
Right, right. So, but anyway, yeah. And besides, Don, one comment that, remember Rick said, this was water that's just there that we're letting the park and rec use, and if anything ever come up to a point that we needed that water, park and rec would.
I understand.
Okay.
That.
Okay.
Yeah. Good question. Though, you know, they're talking about conserving water all over the state, all over the whole Pacific coast, basically. And I just want to make sure. Five years from now, when I turn on my water, it runs, and yep. when I flush my toilet, it goes out. That's what I'm concerned about. So we want to make sure that there's plenty of water here that we can do it. And I just yeah. bring that up because we did discuss it, if you'll remember. Yeah.
Good question, Don. Thank you. Other public comment? Hearing none, I'll go to further staff comments.
No, we'll be the Leavering Cities the next 2 days. You'll be there. You'll be there on Friday. Yeah, if you're coming, we have bar night. Some of you will be downtown Bend for the Central Oregon Cities thing, and then Friday you'll be there. And the only registrants are us. You're not. And the mayor, he went to the mayor's conference, so he decided to. But he will be there tomorrow night.
Yeah, and well, tomorrow morning I'm going to take the fall workshop.
Did she say she'd let you?
Yeah, they said.
Okay.
Yeah, all I had to do is pay for that workshop, so.
Okay.
That'll work, but I'll be there tomorrow night too.
Do we have, we don't have any of the awards, that we don't have an award here we have to haul back, do we? Is that okay, I forgot about that. The pink poodle's not here, Fifi, or any of that junk.
And I don't think we're going to have to haul it back.
Who has the pink poodle? I was trying to tell Pat.
Ben does, I believe.
I think Ben
I believe gave it to Jody last year.
Must be a city manager thing.
Well, no, city.
We'll tell you about it.
Eric King, I was the Bend city manager. Where were we? Oh, we were speaking to the Bend chair last week, and he asked me. He says, "Are you gonna be at that dinner on thing on Thursday night?" And I thought, why are you asking me that? You know, our little water fiasco could earn it if it's a slow news day. And Ben, of course, you can give it to him every year. So, I you know, Sisters usually is good for something. Redmond stays out of trouble.
No. Sisters has got it coming.
What was their issue?
Well, they, I mean.
Just for never getting it.
Oh, no, they've had it.
They've had it, but no, all of the city council
resigning.
And all yeah. of that, that, yeah, they anyway, but I find it interesting he asked you that question, because that's usually a...
Yeah, I got to think back in my brain over the last year what we could have
earned that with. But it's potential.
Yeah.
I guess this isn't a good thing, huh?
Oh, you'll have fun. Oh,
it's fun.
It's fun.
Yeah. They basically would, they give, there's two well, a poodle and a dog.
Butch and Fifi.
And they give it to the community, because it's all the elected officials and some legislators are there. It's in Central Oregon. And no matter where the convention is, we do this. And they will come in and give it to you for an embarrassing, stupid thing that government did, or you did, the city did, or was accused of, or something. And, you know, it's always, always fun. And I gave it once to, I was, this is when I was like, tell sisters for, when they didn't want McDonald's. They want no fortified, what they consider called chain restaurants, fortified food. They want everything natural. They were turning McDonald's down because they came and filled the council chambers and they argued, you can't have French fries and all that, that's bad for you, and you should deny it, and they had a big deal. Well, then the thing got burnt down. Someone in the middle of the night burned it down when it was getting built. Arson. And they, of course, rebuilt. And so we were in Eugene at the Hilton, and I went and told the cooks, I said, okay, I want you to do me a bucket of fries, cook them up. So there's like 50 of us there, and I went around and I gave everyone a French fry. One French fry. And they didn't know what it was about. And then I proceeded to give sisters the award for burning down their McDonald's and worrying about French fries.
And it, there's always something going on. Believe me, it's a fun event.
Yeah, we wish you all were there.
Yeah, it's worth being at. So, council comments? Karen, anything?
No, I think we've got a lot on our plate. And I know how difficult it is to keep track of what I do at the senior center. I can imagine what your track record is. So, welcome to the council, Dennis.
Thank you.
Very productive meeting. I too worry about the water situation with the Park District. But I do want, and you all know by now that my heart goes out to the kids in the area here. And the water for the baseball field is something that I think we need to do. But we also need to be accountable for what they say and what we say. And their accountability leaves a lot to be desired at times when they promise to do something with a well. But and I understand their council changes just like ours does, okay? But Don's right. Years ago, we were worried about water in the Kegel track. Now we're giving away water. I understand where that water came from. I know it's just sitting there and waiting for somebody to get it one way or another. But I think in the end, we're going to have to charge them something for that, not just give it away. And the reason why I say that is because we have a lot of people out there that the water doubled and tripled from what they were paying. I'm not just talking about the regular home. I'm talking about the businesses, the nonprofits. And you have to be careful in the fact that you're charging this amount here and giving this amount away. That being said, write us up a proposal.
That, your points are accurate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My comments are just vehicles parked out here. I worry about this. Right out here in front, right across this front, and I pull out there to, and I can't see the traffic coming. Mm-hmm. And they park across the street by the gas station. And they park down by Finley Butte, where people come out of there. But I have a concern that how do we keep them from parking out here?
Well, we can't. We don't have a police department. We don't have a
tow truck. No, but I mean, why can't we speak to ODOT about putting up no parking signs? I mean, it's a dangerous situation. You've got traffic
right,
running.
We can ask. I think that right now they're going to wait until the road gets repaved and all new signs are going in, and they're not going to put them in and take them out. But
well,
I think it's.
I just think about an accident. Somebody pulling out there, not being able to see coming the other way and pulling out, and something mangles them going north. So.
Yeah, but I see occasional truck parked there where they walk over to the grocery store, is what I think they're doing.
Right.
They're parking the bike lane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I know what you're talking. I've seen it.
I think it's an issue. So, that's all I have. Motion to adjourn.
And I just want to say that I'm going to be in here looking at different stuff just so I can get caught up. It's not, you know, it's being nosy, yes, but it's, you know, just to,
well,
so
Ashley,
I know what's
Ashley
going
and
on
Patty
in the past.
Can find everything.
Yeah.
Well, and I think it's appropriate that you come in and maybe get some time with Ashley and get some
right.
get some overview of what her job is.
Well, in the past and everything.
Yeah. And yeah. No,
I just want to let everybody know that's what I'm going to be doing. So it's not nothing going to be out of the ordinary.
Yeah, and I mean, just knowing sometimes depending on if you're going to have Corey's time or something whatever, let us know ahead
yeah.
because like we go from.
Oh yeah, I know that. Hard to find you guys.
Because it's just we try to put these appointments.
That's it. That's it for me.
Motion to adjourn.
I so move.
I second it.
Any discussion? Nope, we're adjourned.